Well, good morning. I greet you in the name of our dear Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Redeemer, our Advocate, our Joy, our Peace, our Way. There's so much to add to that. Our peace. The times we live in right now, it's only getting worse. How can we come here with a smile on our face? How is that even possible? It is only because of Jesus. Because with Jesus, we have a win-win situation. Whether we live or whether we die. It's a win-win. It's the other way around if we don't have him in our hearts. It's a terrible thing to die. I was very blessed so far with the children's lesson and with the opening. God bless each one that shared this far. Philippians 4, a verse was brought out on verse 7. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Such a very beautiful few words, but very, very much meaning. Before we start here, we could just bow for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we bow before you. And Lord, I just ask that you would keep us from any distractions. And Lord, I ask, Lord, that you would just use me. I just want to be a vessel for you, Lord. Nothing more. I don't want to be the one speaking here, Lord. I just ask if you would just use me. Add to my notes, Lord, or take away from my notes. Whatever it is, Lord, put it on my heart here as I share. Father, I don't feel worthy to bring such powerful words and deep meanings here, but Lord, you had asked me, and Lord, I am willing. Lord, I ask that you would give me calmness, and Lord, a clear mind, and just ask that you would be with me. Father, we do thank you this morning for Jesus. Thank you for sending him to die on the cross for our sins. We now have hope, Lord, and peace. We have something so amazing to look forward to, Lord, and it's because of you. Not because we deserved it, because you loved us, Lord. And this morning, we just want to thank you and make sure, Lord, that all honor and glory goes to you. Because you alone are worthy, Lord. Through Jesus' name, amen. It's been some time, some thoughts have been coming to my mind, and I always told myself, if I get asked to do another devotional or even a message, I feel like he was already preparing me for it. And then this week I asked again, Lord, is this it? And I felt at peace. And there's so much to share on this subject, but I gave it a title. Are you a fugitive or are you pardoned? Because this morning you are one of the two. And it doesn't matter what the world says, what you are. You can be a fugitive, you could have a criminal record. That doesn't matter. Spiritually, if you're pardoned, that's all we need. Brother Willie, if it's okay, when we were crossing the border, I met you, we had to go in. We couldn't cross, both of us, our families, because there was a record. There was a criminal record, or there was something there. Not on my part, but Brother Willie's. And that's okay. But not with God. And that's the blessing. That we can have peace no matter our past and be saved. So there's a few points here. I'm not quite exactly sure how this will work out, but one, we have the cause. Number two, we have the result of the cause. And number three, we have our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. And then we have who is our accuser and deceiver. And then we have who is your representative. And then who's the judge. Let's go to the cause. Let's go turn to Genesis 3. Genesis 3, I'll read 1 to 24. The serpent's deception and man's shameful fall. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her. And he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig tree leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam, and he said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard the voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree, whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to me with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is it thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon the belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In the sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and the desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree, of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, and dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also, and unto his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. And the Lord God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand, and take also of the tree of life, and eat, and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from hence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east side of the garden of Eden cherubims and flaming swords which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. There's a cause, a situation, the beginning. This is the beginning of it all. And then we have the result. We'll go right to chapter 4 and we'll read verses 8 to 14. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is great, is greater than I can bear. And behold, thou hast driven me out of this day from the face of the earth, and from the face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. A fugitive. We have become a fugitive. Murder right off the get-go. And since that day, how much blood is crying out from the ground today? How much blood has been shed? And since that day, how many murders have been committed? And since that day, how much hatred is there in the world? How much starvation is there? How many children are traumatized? They wake up and there's no parents. The only one they looked up to. And they're gone. It's happening all over the place. War. How much of that is going on? We don't know. But there's a lot. Divorce and remarriage. Wars and killings. What about rumors? How much rumors are there being talked? Like bitterness. Selfishness. How about lying? It's a long list. A result. A result of the cause. Fugitives. Everywhere. There is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:1-20. Let's go to Romans 3. Everyone is a sinner. Romans 3:1-20. We'll read. What advantage then had the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. Just go there a little bit. And mightest overcome when thou art judged. Just remember, we're fugitives. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance I speak as a man. God forbid. For then, how shall God judge the world? For if the truth of God hath more abound through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? And not rather as we slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come, whose damnation is just. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we have what things soever the law saith. It saith to them who are under the law that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But if you go right over to Romans 3, and in verses 21 to 31, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the Redeemer that is in Christ Jesus. Doesn't have to be there. We don't have to stay there. Thanks to Jesus, we can be pardoned. The law wants to keep us down. We have an accuser that's shouting every day, our crimes, our sins. It would be a wild court case. This would be a court case. We would need the best lawyer. Let's read Romans 3, 21 to 31. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace. Let's read one more time. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Isn't that amazing? We're included in this. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and circumcision through faith, do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. So we have this promise here, and it's free. if we have faith and we believe, and not just believe and say it, but apply it, we are set free. But we have an accuser that will not give up until our last breath to make us doubt. We cannot afford to doubt ever. Jesus wants our whole faith and our whole trust, and he wants us to live for him. Who is our accuser and deceiver? Revelation 12:9 says, "And that great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." Day and night, accusing. Who is the judge? Before we go there, let's go, who is your representative? I will say this morning, who you represent today, or what you represent today, the same will represent you that day before the judge. Think about that. Do we want Jesus to represent us on that day before the throne? Then represent him today with everything. Don't let your car represent you that day, or the latest fads. It won't work. Or strange gods. My children were cleaning the car the other day. Last week, I bought another van, and the previous owners forgot something in there. There was a Quran in there. And one of these. It tells you which way to pray. Which direction. There was a directions in here. It's a compass that tells you which way to point when you pray. There's directions in here. And it tells you what city you're in. And there's a number code there. And on that compass, there's a code. Make sure that arrow faces that number. Because in that city, wherever you are at, that's where the temple is. I didn't read further. I just thought it was strange. And I feel sorry for people that are carrying this around today. Because this is they're representing this today. This won't work on that last day. The Quran, it's in the garbage at home. Because I don't want it in my house. It doesn't represent me. Jesus represents me. I want to represent Jesus on that day. I want him to represent me. This, you can face whatever direction you want. The God can't hear you. Can't talk, doesn't even exist. It won't be there that day. I wish I could tell the previous owner that. I don't know who owned it. So the question is, who's your representative? Let's go to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 2. We'll read 1-8. I exhort, therefore, the first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of truth? For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in the faith and variety. I will therefore, the men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. It says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, not just to the east or whatever direction. Everywhere. Jesus gave himself as a ransom for all to be testified in due time. What time? And without wrath or doubting, it says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Let's not doubt. And let's turn to Hebrews 9. There's more about our representative here. Hebrews 9, 15 to 28. And for this cause, he is the mediator of a new testament, that by means of death for the redemption of transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are all called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also be also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with the blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heaven should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves was better sacrifice than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that took the that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Verse 27 says, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Christ was offered for that day, for us. Who is the judge? Let's turn to Revelation 20 now. We'll read verse 7 to 15, Revelation 20. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up into the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about. And the beloved city and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This day will come. You better hope. This is one of many, many things. You better hope that this won't be there to represent you. You better hope today is the day you represent Jesus, because there you'll find him. How wonderful would that be if he stood there to represent you before God? Peace with God only through our representer and mediator. The question this morning is still, are you pardoned? Are we justified? Or is there something that's holding us back? Is there anyone here that's not 100% sure? You think you might be a fugitive still, spiritually? Jesus is calling today, and it's free. There is peace with God. Let's go to Romans 5 now. Romans 5, read 1 to 11. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith unto the grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely we are a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commanded his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the joy and peace that the world does not understand. They don't know the Father. They hate Jesus. There are many today that don't want to hear about Jesus. It burdens me. There will be a day of judgment, and God is not a respecter of persons. There will be no lawyer great enough to talk his way into heaven. There is no man slick enough to deceive God into getting into heaven. There is no man rich enough to pay himself into heaven. There is not even one person nice enough to get into heaven. Every person that does not accept Jesus cannot get in. There is no statue or idol that will get you into heaven. You can pray to it 100 times a day. It won't work. Because God is a jealous God. But only through Jesus Christ, the perfect spotless Lamb. Free to us, but to a big expense to God, the Father. His Son. He gave His Son, His only Son. You hear it often. Sometimes for me, it's a thing you hear often. It's like, yeah, God gave His Son for us. But what does it really mean? What was the cost? How great was it? And it's because God loved us so much. And it's nothing we did. He gave His Son. I'd like if we could open our hymns of the church and turn to song number 76. 76. This song came to me this morning while I was going over some of my notes here. I had to look up which page number it was. But to God be the glory. I'll just read it since I can't really song lead, unless there's someone here after when I'm done reading this. Brother Jesse, would you mind? I'll just going to go over this a little bit and then let's sing it together. Is that all right? All right. To God be the glory, great things He hath done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded up His life in atonement for sin and opened a life gate that all may go in. That all may go in. It doesn't matter where you're from, who you are. It's for everyone. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood. To every believer, the promise of God. And this, the vilest offender who truly believes that that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. A pardon receives the vilest offender. Great things He had taught us, great things He had done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But pure and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see. I know we sang this so many times, but I never really looked into it, the words that much. And it's so very beautiful, Brother Jesse, if you don't mind.
Praise the Lord. Praise
Thank you so much. That was so beautiful. The last time we were traveling through the U.S., it seems like there, more than here in Canada, there are advertisement signs of law firms. So many. It seems like more than ever. Lawyers for hire. Is it just me, or do you guys see that too? And last time I was paying attention to some of the slogans, and I thought it was interesting what they say. One says, if you don't get paid, we don't get paid. In other words, it's free. If we don't win the course, it's the court battle, it's free. Another says, the most successful lawyer in town, Greg Monfortin, we can help. Let us stand for you. That's another one. You deserve a fair trial. It's about your rights. Injured at work? Call us for cash in your pockets. Truck accident? Call us for your compensation. Unjustly fired? Call us, we are on your side. We fight to win. And there's lots. Just an example. And so on. But I noticed something. There's not one that promised 100% victory. Not one. And I actually looked it up. Is there a lawyer to hire that will have 100% victory in a criminal case? And then it came back saying it's actually illegal to advertise that way, because it would mislead the public. So yeah, no guarantee. And if a lawyer, the best lawyer in the world, can't guarantee victory in a civil case or whatever it may be here on earth, how much more do we need Jesus on that day? Because God is a just God, and he knows the truth, lawyers will never work. John 4:16, Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. But what if there was a lawyer that could guarantee 100% victory? What if there was one? Let's say you're driving and you've seen a sign, okay? Let's say you committed a terrible crime and you have to get a lawyer. You need to get pardoned. And you came across this sign. It says, guaranteed success and free of charge. At my expense, I will set you free. I will grant you a full pardon and give your weary soul rest. All you must do is believe me. All you must do is be my friend. I am a jealous advocate. If you choose another to represent you, I will not force my way in. I will step aside. For the judge is my father, and I am his only son. Whoever I stand for, the judge will favor. My father and I both despise the accuser. You know, the one who shouts your crimes across the courtroom, hoping to see you condemned. But the evidence is real, and the guilt, undeniable. And because the judge is a perfect, just judge, a penalty cannot simply disappear. Someone must pay. Someone must die. And I am willing, coming from the lawyer. I will take your death sentence upon myself. Not because you deserve it, because the judge does not desire your destruction. Justice will be satisfied, mercy will be extended, and through me, you can walk out of the courtroom forgiven, free, and forever at peace. Who would hire that lawyer? Not even hire, it's free. Well, guess what? There is no such lawyer. At least not here. But we have something far better than that perfect lawyer. Jeremiah 3:31-34. Behold, the days cometh, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand and to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. For our spiritual help, Jesus is guaranteed to have victory. If we place our faith on Him and only, in Him only, and live out esteeming others higher than ourselves, and live in all humility and love for others, if we stand for Jesus today, He will stand for us. How is it that in Revelation 20:12 we read, and another book was opened, which is the book of life? Not books, but another book, singular. This alone should cause us to stop and consider the seriousness of humanity's eternal destiny. Are we walking the fence line? Do we believe that because God loves us, He will never hold our sins against us? Do we assume that our religious heritage or our traditions make us more secure than others? Do we think that hidden sins can remain covered forever? The book of life stands apart from all other books. The other books contain records and deeds, words and actions, but the book of life contains names. And this is not a matter to be taken lightly. I've been there. I once trusted the outward appearance, hiding secrets. It's because of Jesus I was set free. And it's because I trust Him. That doesn't make me perfect still. But He's very gracious to me, to all of us. If we examine ourselves honestly before God, seek His mercy, and walk humbly before Him while there is yet time, God loves us. We have an advocate with our Father. Let's turn to 1 John. We're not alone. 1 John 2:1-7. Christ is our advocate. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And He is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His words, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. So let us also walk the talk. So Jesus is coming soon. There will be a day of judgment. There is eternal damnation. There is also eternal rest and peace. Who is your advocate today? Can the world tell by your interactions and speech who your advocate is? Or who you're advocating for? There won't be a heated cross-examination if Christ is our advocate and representative on that day. There will not be a heated cross-examination. And on that day, in glory, God will be with us. He will wipe away every tear. There will be no more pain, murder, darkness. Those awful things that happen here, it'll all be gone. Hurting, gone. Worries, gone. It'll be so perfect, I can't explain it. Let us hold on to Jesus and him alone, no matter what the cost. It was in the beginning of the year, we switched over, they sold the farm, and we switched over to Moochie, and they had to change all the computers. It was a lot. It was a huge server. We have a big server room, and I don't go in there because there's way too many wires in there. I don't know what that is. All I know is it's a big server room, and it controls everything in the farm. And Moochie hired a IT guy from New York. And this guy is a Filipino. His name is Ben. I'm going to share this with you all because it really touched me when he shared with me. He switched over our computers, gave us new ones. I lost my password, this, that. I'm not good with computers. He somehow got into my computer, and he was looking for, I don't know how he did it, but he pulled out all my passwords. And he said, which one is it? And I'm like, how did you do that? Like, no, just, I won't look, just tell me which one it is. And I said, it's that one. I don't know how he did it, but he knew his stuff when it came to tech stuff like that. And I told Ben, you have a gift because you did that real fast. Well, he said, actually, I wouldn't call it a gift. Actually, Abe, you're right. You're right. I guess you're right. It's a gift. And then he told me to sit down, and he went to the whiteboard. And then he drew out his testimony for me. When Ben was a young boy, his parents really wanted him to have a good education. His parents loved each other. It was a nice family. And they made him study hard. And when he graduated, he was going to go. He wanted to get a degree in computer science and some other degrees. I don't know what they were. I forgot. And it was his dream to have that IT tech support job, going into other fields and helping out in that area, and putting computer programs together. And I don't even know how to speak this language. I'll try my best here. But anyways, long story short, He got the degrees that he needed, and now he was job hunting. His dad was very proud of him. He never wanted to do something that was wrong because he knew he could not have a criminal record for the dream job that he wanted. If you had a criminal record, you can't have it, because you could plant viruses, you could do anything in that, whatever it is that they do. But anyway, he went out one weekend with his friends. This one time, somehow, he got himself into deep trouble. They did something. He didn't tell me what they did, but he landed in jail. And he got a criminal record. And he did not know how he was going to ask his dad to bail him out. Because he loved his dad a lot. His dad was very proud of him. And now he has a criminal record. His dad came and bailed him out. He was extremely sad about it, because it cost a lot to send him through all that. They gave their savings for that. Ben told his dad, "I will still try. I will perform hard, and maybe they'll overlook my criminal record." They hired lawyers, and they could not get a pardon for that. He didn't tell me what they did, but anyways. So the first job they got hired, he got hired, but then on the interview, they had asked if he had a criminal record, and he said yes. And, "Sorry, we can't hire you. We can't." So he kept going. He didn't give up. He got another job interview. So this time he thought, "I would just not mention it. If they don't mention it, I'm not going to mention it. But then I'll perform, and maybe if I do good there and climb that corporate ladder, then if they ever do find out down the road I have a criminal record, they're going, 'No, we trust Ben, we'll just let him go.'" And that's exactly what happened. He did climb that corporate ladder, and he was very good at what he was doing, until they found out he had a criminal record. They called him in the office and said, "We can't have you. Ben, we know that this is not who you are." They explained that to him. "We know that you're not a criminal. We know that you regretted what you did. But it's our policy. We just cannot have you work here." And they had let him go. And at this point, Ben was very discouraged. He didn't know how he was going to tell his dad this one. He really made it up the corporate ladder. He tried again. This time he said, "I'm just going to be up front. And the first thing I'm going to say, look, I have a criminal record. But here's my diplomas, here's my degrees. But I do have a criminal record. I really, really regret what I did." And he had that interview. That's what he did. And then that CEO said, "I've been there. I will give you a chance. Somebody gave me a chance once. I've been there. I'll give you a chance, Ben." And he's there still today, 30 plus years. He's 70 something years now old. And he's still working for that company. Because somebody overlooked the criminal record, even though he wasn't pardoned, but somebody considered him pardoned. And he is really dedicated to working there, and he loves what he's doing. During that time, he found Jesus too. And he always puts those things together. And he says, nothing is greater than when Jesus said, "I've been there too. I understand. I will give you a chance." And that's what he's doing today for all of us. For each and every single one of you, you can confidently rest knowing that Jesus has been there. He knows how you feel. He hasn't committed the sins, though. But he knows how you feel. If there's anything on your hearts, just know that Jesus understands you. And that on that great day, he wants to be your advocate. And he does also say, "It's free. And I will win, guarantee. You will enter heaven where my Father is." May God add his blessings.